On Thanksgiving Day, the average American will eat those 3,000 calories in one meal. And then through all the snacking and other stuff that you munch on through the day, the average American is going to consume 4,500 calories. Now, to put that in perspective, you would have to run for 4 hours, swim for 5 hours, walk 30 miles in order to burn off 3,000 calories. Now, I don't want that to discourage you at all. I want you to go ahead and eat whatever you want to eat on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, we only have the Thanksgiving Day once a year. So go ahead and indulge yourself. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty at all. But, you know, we have so many blessings on the Thanksgiving table. And we have so many blessings in the spiritual realm, at the spiritual table, at God's table as well. And it should be our desire to see other people come to receive the grace of God so that there are more people that can join us in Thanksgiving. I know we're going to have a pretty big crowd. I doubt that it'll top Clarice's, how many people she will have. But the table, our table is getting bigger and bigger every year, for which we are grateful. But I'm thinking about the table in heaven that's also getting bigger. It's growing more and more every year. And this really is what is behind what Paul is talking to the Corinthians about toward the close of the chapter in which Paul talks at length about his own ministry for Jesus Christ and the gospel. He says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." It's a wonderful little verse if you stop and think about it for a while, because it speaks to us about grace. It talks to us about being thankful or having gratitude. It talks about the glory of God. And it talks to us about the importance of getting the gospel to as many people as possible. Thanksgiving should be more than just a holiday in the fall. It should be a part of our Christian walk, right? It should be a part of our Christian life and the witness of our faith in Jesus Christ. But let's pull out some things out of this tonight and feed on them for a little bit. First of all, the grace that motivates thankfulness. The grace that motivates thankfulness. Thankfulness is not an action, but it is a reaction. We are thankful because of what God has done. We are reacting to His love. We are reacting to His mercy. We are reacting to His grace. So thanksgiving is a response to something else. Something has happened that allows us to be thankful. And whenever thankfulness, wherever it comes from, it is because something has happened to us. Something has happened to us that causes our heart to rejoice and to be thankful. And verse 15 indicates that the motivation for thankfulness is grace. And so let me say this. Grace is the action, and thankfulness is the reaction. Okay? God gives His grace to us. We receive the action of His grace, and as a reaction to His grace, we are thankful. We express our gratitude to God. And Paul's heart in this verse was for more grace to be received by more men so that more gratitude could be rendered to God. So let's notice how grace motivates our thankfulness by considering the connection of grace to gratitude. And although we don't see it really in our English Bibles, there's an interesting link in the Greek between the words grace and thanks. Grace and thanks, or grace and thanksgiving. The word that is translated grace is charis, charis. And the word translated thanksgiving is eucharistia. The Greek word for grace is contained in the word for thanksgiving. So Paul is saying that our thanksgiving comes out of understanding God's grace. It's because of His grace that we are able to be thankful at all. The point is, you cannot have gratitude without grace. Wherever there is true thankfulness, you can be sure that God's grace has impacted your life in some way. All of these testimonies that we had tonight, the things that you were thankful for, and rightly so, they are the result of God's grace in your life. Grace is the action. You being thankful to Him for that grace is the typical, is the normal, is the right reaction. So once again, we are reminded of the absolute necessity of the grace of God. And you know, the more I study the concept of grace in the Bible, the more I'm just amazed at this word. Nothing of any spiritual value would be possible in our lives were it not for the grace of God. You can't be saved apart from the grace of God. You can't even be thankful, Paul is saying, you can't even be thankful for the grace that you are saved by had it not been for the grace of God. Charles Dickens once suggested that instead of one day for Thanksgiving, we should have 364 days of Thanksgiving and use the one day for griping and complaining. And we should be thankful every day, right? We don't even need the one day of complaining. We can offer thanks to God daily. And if you study, you know, the scriptures, when they talk about even bringing our requests before God and praying, they're always supposed to be coupled with thanksgiving. And grace, when I think about it, is to the spiritual life as oxygen is to the body, to the physical life. If God withheld His grace from us, there would be no living, there would certainly be no thanksgiving. And so we come to understand this connection between grace and gratitude. We realize that there will be opportunities abounding for us then to give thanks to God because He has first given grace. Not only the connection of grace to gratitude, but also the correctness of gratitude to grace. In our culture, the words thank you have become a more common courtesy than a genuine expression of gratitude. I mean, we say thank you, and we mean it, but we don't mean it deep down always. At the restaurant today, when the waitress brought me my second cup of Mountain Dew, I said thank you. It was more out of courtesy, because that's what I'm expected to do. But, you know, I paid for that Mountain Dew. I left a tip so that she would be paid for bringing me that Mountain Dew. Thought about it later. She should really thank me. If it wasn't for me, she wouldn't be making any money today. She wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for us. But we say thank you because we're courteous, and that is the right thing to do. When it comes to the grace of God, however, gratitude is absolutely the correct response. His grace in our lives is completely undeserved, unearned, and unwarranted. Think about where you might be tonight without the grace of God. Think about what would be in store for all of eternity if it were not for the grace of God. Because in God, through Jesus Christ, we receive forgiveness of sin. We experience the love of God. We have the hope of a home in heaven. Nothing can explain that, except God was gracious to us. And the only response to that kind of grace is gratitude. The great preacher George W. Truett once said that while ingratitude toward other men is wrong and rude, he described ingratitude toward God as treason. For those of us who know fully the grace of God in Christ Jesus, he said the ingratitude is not just a misdemeanor, it's a felony. It's not just rude, it is outright rebellion against God's goodness and glory. So we're thankful. We shouldn't need a holiday to remind us to be thankful to God, but we do have one, and I'm grateful for that. But still, as believers in Christ, we need to take time every day to thank God for His grace and for the blessings that come as a result of this grace. Secondly, tonight, let's look at the God that merits thankfulness. Around the Thanksgiving holiday, even people who do not know and worship God will still talk about things that they are thankful for. Non-Christians will gather this Thursday and they'll have a turkey, and some of those that don't even know God will offer thanks to Him in prayer. I found it an old op-ed article on the internet by a young man named David Swanson, and the article's entitled, "I'm Thankful for Occupy," and the opening line states, "I am thankful that a growing number of us reject the idea of a mysterious being to which we should be thankful." It makes absolutely no sense to me whatsoever. How did all of these things come about? How are all these blessings in the person's life if there is not a God to be thankful to? An atheist celebrating Thanksgiving, to me, is a really strange idea. Really strange. It's something like a servant celebrating the 4th of July, a slave celebrating the 4th of July and their independence, their freedom. Paul could not envision gratitude disconnected from God. He labored so that God was worthy of thanks and that God would receive this thanks from as many people as possible. So who should... Well, let's think about God and that He merits our thankfulness, because our thanks must be directed to Him. Again, in our text, Paul said that all he did was for the sake of introducing more people to the grace of God, with the end hope in mind that the thanksgiving of many would redound to the glory of God. Paul was interested in men giving thanks to God and glorifying God for what he had done. One preacher preaching on this text said that by its very nature, gratitude glorifies the giver. Gratitude glorifies the giver. And so our gratitude to God glorifies God. It brings glory to God. It reminds me of what James says in his epistle, that every good and perfect gift comes from our Father, comes down from our Father above, comes from the Father of lights. Every good and perfect gift comes to us from our Heavenly Father, from God. And it's true that we should express gratitude and we should be thankful toward one another. But in the end, all of our thanksgiving, all of our gratitude should be directed to God, because He is the source of all that we have, that all that we are grateful for. You realize I cannot be thankful to anyone if it were not for what God had done first. In that person's life, in my life, I'm thankful to my wife. I'm glad that God has given her to me. I'm grateful for her love, devotion, and companionship. However, if it were not for God's grace and blessings, I wouldn't have a wife like that to be thankful for. That's what James said. Every good and perfect gift comes from our Father above. And so I thank my wife for being such a good wife to me and so supportive, but I also thank God for giving her to me. I'm thankful for you, each and every one of you. I love you, and like Paul says, I thank God for you daily. I do. I thank God for this church. But I realize, though, that if it wasn't for His blessings and His goodness, I wouldn't have a church family to thank. And so I thank you for your support. I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for working together with me and as we build the kingdom of God together. Thank you for that, but I'm also thankful to God because if it wasn't for His grace, I wouldn't have you to be thankful to. And so when it comes to Thanksgiving, we must ultimately go to God, who is the source of life. He is the source of all that we are truly grateful for, and direct our greatness, our gratitude to Him. I'm thankful for my children and my grandchildren and the blessings that they are in my life. And yet I'm thankful to God too, because He's the one that has given me these children and grandchildren and daughters-in-law. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. So our thanks must be deflected to Him. Notice again what Paul says in verse 15. He begins with the statement, "For all things are for your sakes." For all things are for your sakes. In other words, Paul said, "Everything I have been through and all that I have done in the ministry, I have done it on your behalf and for your sakes." And yet the verse does not end with the hope that Thanksgiving would redound to the glory of Paul. Now, he wasn't looking for gratitude toward himself. And like Paul, those of us who serve the Lord, we appreciate it when people recognize what we do. And yet we want them to ultimately give the glory to God. And we want the glory for Him and not for ourselves. So we must be willing to deflect praise and thankfulness to Him because He is ultimately the one who deserves all the gratitude and glory. Try it out on Thanksgiving when somebody praises you for something, thanks you for something. Redirect that praise, that thankfulness to God. See what they do. People aren't used to that. But see what they do when you say, "I appreciate that so much. Thank you. But you know, I wouldn't be able to do that if it wasn't for the grace of God in my life." He deserves the glory, and we direct the praise to Him. Someone once said, "The axe cannot boast of the trees it has cut down." I read that. I thought of Glenn. The chainsaw, Glenn, cannot boast of the trees it has cut down. That's an inside joke. Some of you know it, some of you don't. It could do nothing for the woodsman. He made it, he sharpened it, he used it. But the moment he throws it aside, it's just a piece of old iron. See, God uses us. We are instruments in His hands. We are tools that He uses. But without Him using us, we are nothing. If He were to cast us aside, we would be nothing. But God gives us the great joy and privilege of working with Him. If God is ever pleased to use us to minister in the lives of other people, we must deflect the praise, the credit to God. Johann Sebastian Bach used to sign each of his musical compositions with the letters SDG. It stands for the Latin phrase Sola Dei Gloria, which means glory to God alone. Then there's a third truth that we need to draw from this verse, and it's really the heart of what the apostle is saying. Notice not only that the grace that motivates thanksgiving and the God that merits thankfulness, but also the goal that multiplies thankfulness. Look again at that verse. It says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Let me give you a paraphrase of what I think it's saying. It could read like this: "It is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God." This is why Paul was so concerned about reaching more and more people, because he realized that if he reached more and more people, there would be that many more people to give glory to God and to give Him thanks. This is our goal. This is our commission, to win people to Christ so that they can experience God's grace and they too can be thankful for their salvation and what God has done in their lives. So there's a challenge in here for us, that we need to have a burning desire in our hearts for more people to experience the same gratitude that we have here tonight. And even as we praise the Lord Jesus for His grace and for the gospel that has saved us, there are billions of people upon the face of the earth. They cannot give the same praise. They cannot give the same thanksgiving to God because they have not received His grace like we have. So we need to make sure that there are plenty of people through our lives, through our ministries, that are invited to God's table, Thanksgiving table, so that there will be many worshiping the Lamb and glorifying Him for what He has done. The price of this goal, once again, Paul said to the Corinthians, all things are for your sakes. The things that he's talking about are the things that he referred to and described in this chapter. He talks about his selflessness. In verse 5, he said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Paul talks about his suffering. In verses 8 and 9, he refers to being troubled, distressed, perplexed, persecuted. All for the sake of the gospel he was preaching. Ours is a culture of comfort, where we think, well, if we're suffering, it must be something wrong. I must be doing something wrong in the Christian life. However, the Word says that all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Whenever you suffer for Jesus' sake, you can be assured that you are doing service for His name. Paul also speaks of his submission. He says in verse 11, for we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Paul was willing to submit to the cross of Christ for his life. He was willing to live and die to himself so that Jesus could be revealed in the lives of those that he witnessed to. And so are we willing tonight to be selfless? Are we willing to suffer? Are we willing to sacrifice so that more people can experience the grace of God, so that there will be more people to give Him thanks? And then, finally, the product of the gospel. Paul said that all he did and all that he had experienced was for the sake of others. And his hope was that one day the thanksgiving of many would redound or would result in the glory of God. Revelation, John describes but a scene in heaven in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. And he said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. I think when Paul was writing to the Corinthians, that was the scene that he had in mind. This scene in heaven is what he had in mind. He was looking forward to that day. And he said, I want to make sure that there's a multitude of people in heaven because of my life. And I wonder, who will be there because of us? Vance Havner once said, when any good comes out of our way, we usually tell it, strange that the greatest good tidings of all should find us holding our peace. I close with a poem entitled Thanksgiving, written by preacher and author A.B. Simpson. He says, while we love to count the blessings, grateful for the year that's gone, faith would sweep a wider vision. Hope would gaze yet farther on, seem with one accord to say, Christ is coming soon to bring us earth's last best Thanksgiving Day. And so very simply, it's the Great Commission. We are grateful to God as a reaction to His grace. And because we have so much to be thankful for, we should want others to be thankful for the same things. And to that end, we work, we labor. we live the Christian life. We sacrifice to make it happen.